Well, hello there. Welcome back to Farm Story. I'm Anna Hilmer, your storyteller. And yes, it's been a good 2 years, I think, since I last actually posted one of my podcasts. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. I certainly didn't run out of things to say because I have a lot to say. But I sort of got turned off by the amount of editing that was required to get these things ready to post, a little more than I thought it would be. And okay, fine, I got lazy, whatever, I'm back. I never stopped writing, of course. I write monthly for Country Life in BC, which is a farm publication, and it covers all of agriculture in BC. It's an excellent monthly read, and I'm really quite honored, not to mention surprised, that they keep accepting my articles. And it's about 650 words. I'm getting pretty good at writing them, and people seem to like them. So, okay. So what I thought as a entry back into this podcasting space is that I could read those articles. So they come out, I get the paper in the week that I'm writing the next month's article, which is kind of fun and also handy because I have found more than once that I have used a lot of the same phrasing, for example, and forgotten that I used it the month before, and so I've been able to change things just to keep it fresh. Anyway, I just thought I would try reading it here on the podcast and see what came of that. Am I going to editorialize? Am I going to lose my way? What am I going to do? Okay, here's the article from February of 2023. We've had some cold weather this winter here in Shangri-La. I call Pemberton Shangri-La because, oh, looks like I'm editorializing. people just have their idea, right? Non-farming people think it's a Shangri-La. So I'll call it that. Don't you always find that the first few days in the minus 20s are fine, but on day 5 or so problems arise? That has certainly been my experience. This day 5 was no different. The cooler froze, the faucet froze, the fuel hose froze, my truck didn't start, things like that. Everything was fine, and then it wasn't. It was a good reminder to stay on top of the situation and to keep turning up the heat on everything. Preach. It led me to the same place I get to after every heat dome and heat wave, an outpouring of appreciation for electricity. A little aside here, interestingly, there's a whole article about a farm, an off-grid farm, here where they certainly don't rely at all on electricity. I, however, do. Utterly rely on it, in fact. How amazing that at any temperature from plus 47 to minus 25, I can walk through the cooler door and find it somewhere around 2 degrees on the other side. And when it freezes in there, I can just plug in a heater or three and save the day. Allow me to inject some pessimism to avoid unbecoming giddiness. We do lose power from time to time, and just because it's never happened at a really bad time does not mean it won't ever. All the backup plans involve gas, diesel, and propane. I'm bothered by this, but I'm not working on that issue right now. Speaking of cheerful and willful reliance on pollutants, I would also like to acknowledge the critical role of plastic bags in the selling of our crop. Plastic is magic. Oh, another aside. This is not the first time I've talked about plastic bags. In fact, I'm not going to go there. But it's not the first time I've talked about plastic. Plastic is magic. Anyone who has sold produce at market knows that if you put it in a plastic bag with a price sticker on it, you will sell it. In fact, everyone in the produce industry knows this. Grocery store produce departments are a veritable sea of plastic bagging, and much of it is the crinkly, holy, custom-formed, entirely indisputably single-use variety. A few years ago, our big city markets attempted to ban our precious plastic bags in a forgivable fit of sanctimonious self-sabotage. Now, I totally debated about using that term sanctimonious self-sabotage, but really that's what it was. Because banning plastic is just like such low-hanging fruit. And if it makes you feel better about your impact on climate change, it's just so self-righteous, because we're all doing, even just listening to this podcast on the internet, there are servers humming away, consuming enormous amounts of electricity to provide this podcast to your ears. And anyway, back on task here. I did use the term sanctimonious self-sabotage because that's how we sell things. And why would we have our sales in order to make a point? Why do we have to be the ones, little farmers, have to be the ones to have our sales? Like, what about the produce department at Save On Foods? Go have those sales by getting rid of all the plastic. Then come talk to me. Anywho, egged on by a few customers, again, true statement, who I'm sure did not realize the effect a ban would have on our sales. And it's all forgivable. We saw fit to protest, and the blanket ban was postponed, with only the large, but rather useful, I think we could all agree, shopping bags forbidden. I still bring them to market, although they are well hidden. When someone arrives at my till clearly exhibiting signs of being on an unexpected shopping spree at market, I offer them a bag. I ask them to agree not to throw it out after they promise to give it a long life, multiple uses, and presto, it's no longer a single-use bag. I know I'll still get in trouble if the market finds out about this. Since this article has become all about things that give me heart palpitations in their absence, the Atlas nitrile-coated size medium work gloves must be mentioned. I almost never do work without them on, to the point where I startle people with my non-stereotypical soft farmer hands. I buy them in bulk and usually have at least a dozen pairs in circulation around the farm. They don't last long, mind you. The nitrile coating hardens, and then they become the worst gloves in the world, dangerously slippy. Furthermore, they go missing, and it's a dangerous game becoming so dependent on those gloves. The backup plan is terrible, and I dread doing anything without my gloves. After frantically patting my pockets and slashing my eyes left and right in a futile search, I point my soft, weak, trembling hands at the job. Broken nails, bruised knuckles, pinched skin, awkward lifts, and greasy palms, my certain future. This really, really ought never to happen, and yet it does. And then I close with my little line. Anna Helmer farms with her family and friends in Pemberton, where it can rain the day after anything. I always write Anna Helmer farms in Pemberton, something like that, and then I sort of try to impulsively bang something off, and I try not to edit that. I try to keep it just how it came out, and pretty much do that. Okay, so that's the farm story article. That didn't take long. We're under 10 minutes. Can I do a 10-minute podcast? I think I can. I'm working on this coming month's article. I won't spill the beans. Fascinating topic coming up. And I do actually have some material here that I can tack on the end here. My dear friends Lisa and Dan did a potato tasting last year and recorded their results. So I'm going to tack that on the end here so you can hear about some of potato varieties. And because that's about all we have left to sell, potatoes and a few parsnips. So really trying to keep people interested in that. And some cabbage. There's some cabbage at our farm stand right now. You know, just as an aside, you don't need to have fresh greens all the time. In February, your fresh greens are coming from somewhere else, and you really don't know how they're made, how they're produced, under what conditions, what are those worker conditions like? Like, let it go. Let the spinach in February go. Eat cabbage. For one thing, it's way, way more financially sensible. A nice big cabbage in our farm stand, certified organic, grown a mile away, like 1 mile away. I think they're $7. And you can get like four salads out of that. You can also alternatively pay $7 for your box of spinach. And although now that I'm ranting about that, I just remembered there is like a fresh green facility outside of Kamloops, which might be interesting. Is it still in business? I don't know. But anyway, you don't need to buy the California spinach. Eat cabbage. Oh, what a note to end on. Boy, I've not lost it, hey? I still hard hitting as ever. Wow. Oh dear. Okay, we'll keep working on it. Bye for now. Well, darn it all, anyways, I've messed up the Lisa and Dan attachment. Ugh. So that's no fun. That's no good. They may not make another one for me. I'm gonna have to really sweet talk them. So that's it. I don't have anything more to add. This is the end of the return podcast. At least I've left lots of room to grow and get better.